thinking about Christmas journeys then, just for maybe 10 minutes or so at the end, I'm thinking about journeys that I've made. When we were first married, when I finished my degrees in Cardiff, I got a job in London. But you might spot from my accent that I'm not from Wales and I'm not from London. I'm from the north of England. And we would make a journey home every Christmas time to spend with our families, who both lived on the Yorkshire-Lancashire borders near Skipton and Burnley, a little town called Barnoldswick, which you probably haven't heard of. But we made that journey. And we had a little one-bedroom flat in London. Money was tight, so I bought a car for £1. It was a Ford Cortina Mark II called Hector. And Hector would make the journey at Christmas up the M1, shuffling along. And I remember one year, the clutch went and I crashed the gears all the way up to Yorkshire. It was a wonderful and a memorable journey. One year, Hector didn't make it. And so last minute, we booked some tickets for the train. And back in 1985, I think it was, to spend £85 at the last minute on train tickets. It was a big expense. And bringing a baby and the pushchair and the presents and the baggage. The journey was no fun, but the joy was in the arriving at our destination. And many are looking to make journeys somewhat curtailed this Christmas time. There are many, sadly, piled up at the port of Dover waiting to make a journey back home, perhaps to France and onto the continent. But I want to think about those first Christmas journeys that happened in what would have been almost certainly 4 BC, in the time of Herod the king. We heard about the wise men, and they made a great, great journey. As I said, maybe 1,000 miles. Wise men, magi, magos, a long journey of 1,000 miles. They would have been, to put it at its best, scientists and astronomers. But closer to the reality, they were pagan wizards doing what they could. But they arrive in Jerusalem and they've got a question. Where is he who has been born? Not might have been born. They have no doubts about it. Where is he who has been born? King of the Jews. They've seen a star in the east and it's told them of the birth of a new king in Judea. So they make their way to Jerusalem. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Why Jerusalem? Why do they go to Jerusalem? Well, it's the capital of Israel. And so they make their way there to see the newborn king. Where is he? Well, now they're guided by something better. They're guided by the Bible. The chief priests and the teachers are gathered together. Where is the Messiah to be born? Well, Micah tells us in chapter 5 and verse 2, it will be Bethlehem. So they make their way to Bethlehem, guided by the Bible. And we're told that the star they first seen went before them. And when they saw the star, they were exceedingly joyful. And it stopped over the place where the child was. They go into where the child is and they see a baby and they see the mother. And what they do is quite astonishing. These are intelligent men. They are wizards from the east. And they fall down, prostrate, and they worship him. They worship this little child and they offer him gifts. And the gifts are very appropriate. Now, I'm scratching my head every year. What do I buy my wife? And you think after 40-odd years, we had our 40th wedding anniversary in the summer. I'd known her for 3 years before that. So 44 years of knowing Jill. You think I'd know her well enough to get her the right present. But every year I seem to fail. One year I bought her what I thought was a perfect gift. I went into a department store. And I said, I want a fragrance that my wife will like. And so the assistant helped me and parceled up this gift. It was gift wrapped ready. And I gave it to her Christmas morning. And it was called Uomo, which I now know means for men. And I bought aftershave because the sales assistant thought I meant something I would wear that she'd like. But what I meant was something that she would wear. So I bought her aftershave. It didn't go down too well. Another year, I bought her a gym membership, thinking she ought to get a little bit fitter. That went down like a lead balloon. But this year, I think I've got her the right present. We'll see tomorrow morning. But these wise men, they bring appropriate gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, gold. They recognize that this is a king. Many people become kings after their fathers die. They succeed the kingship. But here's one who is born a king. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They give him gold. They recognize that he's a king. But he's more than a king. They give him frankincense, a very expensive spice that's used in the worship of a deity. So they recognize in falling down, they recognize in the giving of the gift that this is very God, God of God, light of light, gold for a king, frankincense for one who is divine. But then a very strange gift they present, myrrh. It was used for embalming dead bodies. Why give that to a little child who's just been born? I mean, if you've got a little child who's just been born and a visitor comes with embalming fluid, you think, this person is off their rocker. No, it was appropriate. It was appropriate. He's Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. But he's one who is born to die. He's come to deal with mankind's most pressing and urgent problem. At the moment, I was trying to avoid mentioning this, but I can't really get away from it. The most pressing problem seems to be COVID-19, and now it's mutant variants. But that's not our most pressing problem. Our most pressing problem is our sin. It's a moral failure, a problem that spoils our own lives. It spoils our family lives. It breaks relationships. It spoils neighborhoods and nations. It brings friction between nations, Brexit, and who will have the fishing rights. Sin has caused this problem. But the biggest devastating problem that sin causes is this. It separates us from our God. See, our raison d'etre is to know God. Not just know about him, but to know him. To have a personal living relationship with him. That's what brings deep joy. Knowing the creator of the universe. And that is why we were made. But sin means that we can't know him. Jesus came to deal with our most pressing problem. God becomes a man without ceasing to be God. Why has he come? He's come to live the life that we can't live. If you like, in his life, he sits the entrance exam for heaven. And he puts our name on the paper. And he passes with flying colors. He lives a perfect life on our behalf. And then the gift of the myrrh. Well, he dies the death that we deserve. The wages of sin is death. How much must God love us? Enough to send his son. How much must God love us? Enough to come himself. How much must God love us? Enough for the Holy Spirit to approve of this and to brood over this and to apply this to us. This is the greatest gift. He will die for our sin. He'll pay the penalty. He'll take the wages of our waywardness. Or they offer him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then they depart, warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. There's the wise men 1,000 miles. Pagan wizards. But they make it there. They make it there. Have you made it to him yet? Have you worshipped him? Then we have the shepherds. Now they come a little short distance, maybe 2 or 3 miles. A hop, skip and a jump. And they're there in Bethlehem. Very contrasting to the wise men. They would have been likely religious shepherds guarding the flocks that would have been used for religious ceremonial sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. So they were religious men. They were godly men. I'd say this too. They were ordinary men. Nevertheless, told the good news by the angel, they make their way 2 or 3 miles. Let's go to Bethlehem. And guess what? They find the child just as the angel had told them. This is very interesting. 2 cameos, 1 in Matthew, 1 in Luke. It's telling us something. they're the widest extremes, really, of mankind. Religious, ordinary men making a short journey. Pagan wizards making a long journey. But they both make that journey, and they both encounter the Savior of the world. This is telling us Jesus is for all. The Savior is for all. Doesn't matter if you're religious or you're pagan. Doesn't matter if you're ordinary or you are of great standing. Doesn't matter if you're of great intellect or really quite ordinary in your intellect. Jesus is for all. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for me. In 1976, I made quite a journey. I went to Australia for a holiday. My grandparents lived on the Gold Coast. I had two cousins, both about my age, one a year younger, one a year older. And they both recently been converted. I went out as an atheist, but meeting with my cousins, who were really being quite wild in their teenage years, into drugs and drink and in a rock band, but they'd been converted, they'd seen the light, and they told me about Jesus and who he was and what he'd done. I secretly bought a Bible and didn't let them know because I used to argue with them, started to read it. I went to a church service with them, quite a bizarre church service. We call it charismatic in expression today. And but there I heard the message that the angel first proclaimed. I've got good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And as I sat and listened to the gospel, that Jesus lived a perfect life for me that I wasn't able to live, that he died the death that I deserve, it was like watching a jigsaw puzzle coming together. A holy God, sinful me, Jesus Christ, the bridge. It's not religion, it's not morality, it's not church going, it's not hymn singing, it's not buying a poppy, it's not doing Meals on Wheels, it's not clapping your hands, not standing up, not turning around, not sitting down. It's Jesus Christ. He really is the Savior. And so although I went 12,000 miles, the biggest journey was coming to faith, seeing that it was true. And I trusted in Jesus, and it rapidly and radically changed my life. And 44 years later, he's still changing my life. Have you made that journey yet? This Christmas time, as you've heard the story read and sung and now declared, really, in a real sense, I mean, you're listening to an angel tonight. Angel just means messenger, angelos, the Greek word for messenger. I'm an angel, and I'm telling you good news of great joy. And it's for every single one of you on YouTube, Facebook, and on Zoom. It's for you. What are you going to do about it? You don't have to go 1,000 miles, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. You don't have to run down a hill across a few bogs and streams to get to Bethlehem, breathless. You just need to recognize your need, and that need met in Jesus Christ. I'll mention it again. I'm sorry to mention it again, but when I'm called for the vaccine, I'll hurry. Let's get to that vaccination center, roll up my sleeve, and I'll get that injection. Why? Because actually, I'm a little bit scared of COVID-19. But there's a disease, and we've all got it, and it's deadly. It's called sin. And the answer is Jesus Christ, and you don't have to go to a vaccination center. Right where you're sat right now by your Christmas tree, you can say, oh, thank you, Jesus, that you ever came. Thank you that you lived for me, that you died for me, that you rose again. Or would you come into my life, cast out my sin, and enter in, be born in me today? I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, oh, come to me. Abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. It's a simple journey, but it's a difficult one, isn't it, too? I pray the Holy Spirit will brood over this message and bring you to see, as I saw 40-odd years ago, holy God, sinful me, Jesus Christ, the bridge. Well, may God bless us, everyone. As Little Cratchit said at the end of Christmas Carol, may God bless us, every one, this Christmas time and forevermore. Make sure you find him. Oh, and one more thing. If you have found him, make sure you keep him. The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen is Christians who drift. Once you give him your heart, don't take it back. Make sure it's lodged with him throughout your time here on planet Earth and for